program can work for me too. Tonight's speaker, I actually met in this room right here. I think she was sitting right where her sister's sitting right now. And if you stick around here for a little bit and you start doing some work, you can just tell when someone's doing the thing, you know? At least I feel I can. I can just tell when someone says, hey, you know, I feel I can tell if they're doing the work or they're not. And the one thing I noticed from this girl right away was, wow, there's something different about her that you don't see in everyone here, you know? And that's the work, that's the God in this person that's just screaming, you know? And I've gotten to know her a little bit, and this is the one thing I know about her. She's based out of this book, right? Which I like. She knows that she's not responsible for anything that's happened to her. She can't take credit for what's going on in her today. It's God, you know? And the one thing I know about her is she knew she was dying when she came in, and she'll probably share a little bit of that tonight, and it's awesome that she wasn't going to take, you know, just take your time for an answer. She knew she was dying, and she knew she needed something to change within her in order for her to recover from this deal. And I think you guys are going to be in for a really big treat tonight. And with that, I give you Kaya.
Holy cow. There are a lot of you. Hi, my name is Kaya Bertolini, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. Grateful to be asked to share my story. All week long, I've been so nervous and, you know, like, I want to be cool and I want to say things to make you guys like me. But in reality, I'm just another bum, just like you. My sobriety date is the 19th of November, 2011. I'll have 7 months next week. Really nervous. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking out, you know, and it's like, my sister and my dearest friend of 12 years, you know, and her fiance Kayla, and, you know, my other friend Jessica, who I just recently met up here, and Bob, and it's like, I just moved here from Savannah, and this is like what the program gives you. It brings people back into your lives that you thought were gone. Tell you a little bit about myself. I was born June 24th, 1985. I come from a very large family. I'm one of six. my dad is full-blooded Italian, but he converted to Messianic Judaism, which is like Jews for Jesus. I don't know if anybody knows what that is. It's pretty weird. And my mom is, she's pagan. She believes in the goddess and the energy. They're divorced. They divorced when I was nine, and my dad raised us, so needless to say, we raised each other. I grew up in a very emotionally and at times physically abusive home. I do not come from a privileged family. And I guess I've never felt comfortable in my own skin. I always hear this thing that they say you were either loved too much or you weren't loved at all. And, you know, looking out, you know, at these people who've come to support me, and it's like, I truly know that I'm loved today. But growing up, I never felt that way. My dad drank all the time. And I remember from an early age, I don't remember what my first drink was, you know, but I remember being like, can I have wine with dinner? You know, can I do this, you know? And I loved it. I loved alcohol. I loved the way it tasted. I loved how it made me feel. I was not a shy kid. I was kind of the common denominator. None of my friends really ever made sense, you know? But I was like, it's cool, we're all different. We're gonna hang out. And that's just kind of how it went. And I remember my first drunk, though. I was 12. And I'd stolen this blackberry wine from a church. What is that, like Manischewitz or whatever that stuff is called? And And me and my friend drinking on a trampoline, and I had so much fun. You know, like, I had arrived, like the big book says. I never really believed in God growing up. I thought people who believed in God were stupid. You know, get off your knees and do something about your life. My dad constantly, we were constantly losing houses, and he put his faith before everything. And but when I was younger, I remember thinking, that's so wrong. You know, like, we're your children. Love me, you know, be here for me. And it was just his church and his God and his way. And he's one of those guys who thought women should be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. You know, there was no such thing as marital rape, you know, stuff like that. Just stuff that just really didn't sit right with me growing up. I remember this one time, he's like, you'd be a real pretty girl if you learned to shut the bleep up every once in a while. And I use that, you know, I use that as a way to never be quiet. But anyways, but after my first drunk, I just remember always wanting to feel that way. It didn't matter who you were, where you were from, you know, if you were drinking and drugging, that's where I wanted to be. And I was always like a rebel with a cause, you know. I'd always tell people that they were wrong, but in a really obnoxious, drunk way. So nobody ever listened to me. And I'm nervous, guys. All right. And that went on for years. And I'd always be able to clean myself up a little bit. I remember when I was 16, I guess early on, like, I drank and I used alcoholically. I have drugs in my story, but alcohol is what brought me to the rooms. When I quit doing drugs, I was like, oh, I don't do drugs every day. So, you know, alcohol was never an issue. Like, people drink. They drink all the time. I drink all the time, you know, so that's just what you do. That's okay. I dropped out of school when I was 14. And I mean, I was already using really, really heavily, drinking really heavily. I got a job at a KFC when I was 15, and I've pretty much kind of been on my own since. Just, you know, staying with friends and working, and I have a 9-year-old daughter, which I had when I was 16. It's the longest time I've ever been sober in my life was that pregnancy. And so because of that pregnancy, I pretty much stopped using drugs on a daily basis. And went on to, so nervous. Sorry, I feel like the past 10 years have been like one big blackout, so you'll have to excuse the gaps in my story if things don't match up quite well. But I did. I put myself through a trade school, became a medical assistant, and I didn't really use or drink. Now, through my divorce, I was financially unstable, so I gave custody to his parents, and instead of, you know, fighting or whatever, I was like, no, you guys take her. And I started to drink myself into oblivion, pretty much. But I always had a job, and because I had a job, I felt like that meant I didn't have a problem, you know? Well, I pay my bills, so I'm not like you. And it went on like that, you know, just a cycle of kind of cleaning up for a few weeks and then going back. I'm like, is it over? So let's skip the drunk log a little bit. When I was 24 years old, things got crazy. I lost both of my jobs, kind of just floating around, not really knowing what I was doing. Taking care of my sister, trying to, anyways, and you know, I kept hearing over and over, maybe you shouldn't drink. You know, you've been through this, you've been through that. Maybe you're just one of those people who can't drink. And I was like, maybe I need to join the military. So I did that. And when they say this disease is progressive, they mean it. I didn't drink for 2 months. And when I got to AIT, they were like, you can smoke cigarettes and go out on the weekends as long as you pass your PT test. And I was like, I'm a PT stud. This is fantastic. And I would go out every weekend. And I don't even know half the things that happened. I hallucinated a lot when I drank. I would think I was with people, with someone, you know, that I wasn't, and wake up very confused the next day. You know, and this progressed. In the military, you know, I had a lot of traumatic events happen. I was sexually assaulted by 9 people. And that's when my delusion really set in. I just started telling people, I don't drink. You know, and I needed my sister at that time to kind of come and be with me. And she was like, you know, are you drinking? I was like, no, I don't drink. I don't know why people keep saying I drink. And so she moved down and then informed me that I drank every day. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I just thought if I said it, it wasn't true. If I could make you laugh, I didn't have a problem. You know, I chased that good feeling. I remember so many times, like, waking up with my military buddies who drink, you know, and they'd be like, no, we're sick. We don't feel good, you know. I'd be like, how else are we going to get these shticks to go away, guys, you know? And they would just be like, no, you're insane. And I was like, I'm just going to go sit in this corner that I left by myself, you know? And it didn't really matter. Some events led up to me getting sober. My assault was one of them. And then 9 months after that, I got into a very alcoholic, sick relationship. And I went to jail. There's nothing like coming out of a blackout with handcuffs on. It's really confusing and really scary. I got put into ASAP, which is Army Substance Abuse Program, and I still drank. You know, my commander was like, do you think you're an alcoholic? And I was like, no, I don't drink. Why would you say that? And he was like, well, I command order you never ever to drink again. And at the time, I'm like, 26-year-old woman, you can't command order me not to ever, ever drink again. But he did, and I kept drinking. So all I had to do was quit drinking for 30 days, and I couldn't. You know, it was just really, really crazy. The one thing in my life that I had accomplished and was really, really good at, which was the military, you know, was slowly dwindling. And they were like, if you drink again, you will lose your job. Well, I drank again. And it was bad. You know, I remember sitting in his office and he was like, why couldn't you just stop drinking? And at the time, I just looked at him. You know, I was nervous and was like, I don't know. But now I know it's because I didn't, you know, I didn't have a higher power. I didn't realize that I had lost the power and choice. You know, like, I drank no matter what. No matter what. finally, through another series of events, some pretty traumatic stuff, I decided, you know, maybe I should look into something. And I went to my very first AA meeting, and and when I went in, it was so funny because I was crying, you know, like just so sad, and you know, I was like, I don't believe in anything, not even myself. And you know, I laugh about it now, but at the time, that's how I felt. You know, I really did feel that way. But I just couldn't. When I looked at the walls and, you know, you see the steps and the traditions, all I saw was God. And I was like, no, I don't need him. You know, people who believe in him are stupid or poor. Well, I, you know, but that's the thing. I'm kind of dumb and I am poor, you know? So, like, why would I not jump on that? And, but the thing is I didn't want you guys to know that, you know? I didn't want anybody to really know anything about me. But I came in and I heard, keep it simple, don't do anything, just come to meetings. So I came to meetings and I drank. And I kept drinking, but that's when I kind of realized I was powerless. I was like, I'm coming to these meetings, I'm keeping it simple, when in doubt, don't move. Okay, you know, like, where is this happy, joyous, free stuff? Because I don't have it. And finally, you know, one night I came in, and the next, like the night before, I drank so much. And I came in and I pretty much cussed out the entire room. I really did. I was like, you're not nice. You don't call me. F you, F you. And like, this doesn't work. And I left and I went to a party and I ended up punching my friend's wife in his face. You know, I thought my best friend at the time was trying to do something to me that they weren't trying to do, because I was just so crazy. Like, I couldn't tell the true from the false anymore. If anybody knows what that feels like, I don't know. It's like everything that I said was not true. You know, it's just a big lie. Like, I'm okay, right? And I wasn't. I was like, I love me, I'm awesome. And I hated me. So I had somebody call me, and that night, I kind of blew them off. They were from the program. They had heard me, you know, kind of, you know, yell at people for not reaching out when I completely didn't even talk to them, you know. And I hit my knees that night, and I was like, God, please help me. Like, I can't do this anymore. And I remember calling my sister after that and telling her that I thought maybe I should be an Al-Anon and not AA. Like, I just couldn't give it over, you know? I was like, I'm an alcoholic. No, I'm not. And the next day I did go to this meeting with this girl, and I walked up to somebody and I was like, who had shared, and I was like, do you sponsor people? She was like, do you have a sponsor? And I was like, no. And she was like, now you do. And but that's what I needed. And we went to dinner and she gave me some homework. But it was like I couldn't even hear what anyone was saying until I hit my knees. Like, the big book says that, you know, alcohol like brings us to a point of desperation, something like that, I'm paraphrasing. And I was, you know, I refused. For the longest time, I was like, you know, people who believe, like, that's so awesome. They have something, you know, but I just want to believe in myself and my own ability to make things happen in my life. Unfortunately, like the big book also says, I'm a mental defective. So it just didn't, you know, it just didn't work out that well. But I did. I got a sponsor, and I started working these steps. And I remember, because of not being able to stay sober, you know, that first month when I really came in, and I just kept drinking. You know, she gave me my first assignment, and I was done with it in like 2 hours. And I called her, and I was like, "Now what?" And she was like, no, you're on step one. And I'm like, no, I get it. I am powerless and my life is unmanageable. Now what? Like, I need more. Because I was crawling out of my skin. That obsession still hadn't been lifted, I don't feel like, at the time. So she gave me more work on step one. And so the next week, you know, I called her and I called her. And finally she just kind of gave in. She just broke down and just started just giving me stuff to read and stuff to do. So I don't know. I feel like I take that first step desperately. Because I truly know that I was dying. And even though I knew I was dying, necessarily when I came in, I didn't care. I remember calling my sister one night, and it wasn't my intention to make her feel the way that I did, but, you know, she was like, I'm scared that you're going to wake up and you're going to be in jail because you killed somebody or because you killed yourself. And I'm like, I'm not suicidal. I love me, you know, but I didn't. And what this program has given me, these steps, they've saved my life. And I don't know, they've brought people back into my life that I never thought in a million years would ever talk to me again. They've helped me realize that I have a lot of outside issues that I need outside help on, you know. But it wasn't until I worked the steps that I was able to even, you know, get that outside help and, you know, really, really mean it or want it. I just thought I could hate men for the rest of my life and that would be okay. But you know, sometimes I still think that's all right. But that's just kind of how it went about. I got really, really involved. I've always had a hard time. It's like, I never had a hard time making friends. I really didn't, you know. I didn't drink when I was feeling awkward. I wanted to have a good time, and I wanted that good time to keep going and going and going. The alcohol didn't work anymore. But I kind of infiltrated groups, you know. I'd be like, hey, I'm funny, talk to me. And then they would stop liking me, and then I'd be like, hey, you guys over there, you know. Like, I'd have, like, those friends for a little while. And that's kind of how it was in sobriety, too, honestly. When I first got in, I was surrounded by some people who were still doing some pretty sick stuff. And I was like, but you guys said you did this in this meeting, you know? Like, you don't act like this outside the meeting. Like, that's crazy. And then I became Miss AA. And I thought I knew this book and everything in it, and I was going to tell you what and who you were. But that's not the type of program I want. There are many ways to do this deal, the deal being the steps. And I think that however you get there, however you come to believe, like that's okay, you know? And that's not for me or anybody else to tell you. It would be my suggestion not to wait. Because I have so many blessings and miracles in my life today that I would not have if I waited. Like, honestly, if somebody would have told me that I had to, you know, stay sober for this many months before I could, you know, even start working on the steps, I would not be in this program. I would not be. But my relationship with my higher power is so amazing. When I first came in, it was like, I felt like I was giving everything to God. You know, my sponsor was like, give it to God. I was like, I just did, you know, and it's still here. Like, this issue is still happening, you know, and I'd get mad and, you know, and just like my roommate tells me sometimes, you know, so you're mad somebody said something you didn't want them to say. And I'm like, shit, I guess so, you know, and, you know, and I'm still growing and I'm still learning and I don't do this thing perfectly. But we also have a daily reprieve, and that's something I really try to focus on. I get very wrapped up into my own head and what's going on with me, and I forget about the people around me. You know, even tonight, I was like, it's me, you know, like, oh, I'm getting up there. But the thing is this is about you guys. It's about the people just coming in and knowing that if you're hopeless, and I truly mean hopeless means to die, you know, that there is a solution. These people have saved just anything good about me, anything that I still had good inside me. Like, it's only here because of you guys, you know, from letting me cry or letting me word vomit or, you know, I've worked the steps not only with my sponsor, but I've also worked the steps with other people in the program, which I think is okay to do, but that's not in the big book, so don't quote me on it. But I do, you know, I was having an issue, and a really good friend of mine, Josh Hill, you know, I was like, Josh, I need to do a fourth through ninth, and I need to do it now, you know, and we sat down, and it took like 3 hours, but we just did it real fast, and I was able to see, you know, like my part and what was blocking me, and make that amends. And for people who are having problems with, like, resentments, it's so funny because I have so many people, they're like, I did a fourth and fifth step and this resentment hasn't gone away. Well, there's a 6, 7, 8, and 9, you know, that go along with that. And I know for me personally, my resentments never go away until I say I'm sorry, because I suck at that. You know, I had a really good friend in Savannah, and she had this awesome way of telling me things about myself, and she would always be like, I love how your apologies aren't apologies at all, you know, you're just like, I'm sorry you feel that way. And I was like, oh man, I totally do that, you know? But it's through friendships like that that I'm able to, you know, see those defects and truly work on them, you know, throughout my day. Like, it's like I have a conscience today, which is really weird because I used to tell people, like, morals? What are those? I don't need morals, you know? And it was so funny because nobody laughed, you know? And it was just like, no, we like morals, Kaya. You know, and I'm like, you do? It's weird. And, you know, but I do want morals in my life today. I don't want to be that person who just doesn't care about anything, you know, or the people around me. I've hurt a lot of people in my life. You know, I have a family, a huge family, that for years, 10 years, I didn't even talk to. You know, when I got out of that house, I left. And I was like, I didn't do anything to them, you know, like, I'm not selfish, I didn't hurt them. Like, they were so worried about me, you know, they didn't know what I was doing, where I was, you know. Even when I joined the military, they knew I joined the military, but the next thing they know, they're like, why is Kaya in jail? You know, what is going on? Why is she back with this person? You know, like, what is happening? And I thought for a long time, because I was delusional, that because I didn't talk to them, it was none of their business. You know, it didn't affect them. And I caused them a lot of worry, you know. And I love my father. He did the best he could with what he had. You know, and we were so disrespectful. Like, he hated when we said, like, you know, GD or whatever, And I would say it, I'd scream it in his face and then get mad that he like slapped me in my mouth, you know, like, cause that makes sense, you know? Stuff like that, you know, it's just, I thought alcoholically really from a very young age. I don't know if that's possible, but I truly believe that. I really believe I was born this way. But what's so awesome is that through the steps, I've also learned, like, I don't know if anybody was, like, terrified of doing their fourth or fifth step. I was really excited. I was like, can I do my fourth step? And my sponsor was like, you're on step three. I was like, no, can I do my fourth step? She was like, you're on step three. And I just bugged her so much until finally I read her something out of my journal, and she was like, okay, you're ready. And then she was like, but you have to do a sex inventory. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, like that's all. You can have everything else, but we're not going to talk about that. And but I did do it, you know. And what was so awesome about doing my fourth or fifth step is it's like after that hour, you know, it was like this like huge realization, just like relief came over me. And it was like, I never have to be that person again, ever. You know, I never have to feel that way again unless I choose to take my will back. It's like I can do anything sober as long as I'm spiritually fit. And that is awesome. I get to work with other women who have had a lot of the same experiences. And I've really worked a lot on myself to be able to overcome some of the things that I've been through. And I never want to take credit for God or this program in my life, because I know that it's God that's kept me sober this long. Like, I truly believe that. And I wish I would have allowed my Creator into my life so much earlier. Because I get to, you know, sponsor people and like see that same spark in their eye. And it's so awesome. First of all, it's awesome when somebody does the work, you know, when they're willing. And it's so amazing to see God work through their lives. I feel like I'm all over the place up here. If you're coming in and you just don't know what you're doing anymore, you know, it's like everything's the same, but you keep telling yourself it's different, you know, it's a different color, it's a different person, it's a different city. That's what I did. And I always took me with me. And if you don't want to feel like that anymore, like there is a solution. And it is in this book. And the book is not the solution, by the way. The steps and applying those steps in your life, you know, because they get you connected with a higher power. And that higher power is your solution. The big book tells me the only thing that will keep me sober is a God of my understanding and work with you guys. Giving back what was so freely given to me, which has saved my butt so many times. There were times in early sobriety when I was moving and, you know, I'm losing my job and going through all this crap. And, you know, it's like there are all these boxes and I just grab my keys and be like, fuck it. And I'd be going to the door and then the phone would ring, or, you know, and it's like, is that odd or is that God? Like, I truly believe that was God working in my life. I truly do. Through coming into the program, you know, I get to be a real sister to my sister, who I love more than anything in this world. And I can actually say that because I don't leave her stranded at work anymore or put her in dangerous situations. Because it's like, I love you, but I'm drinking, so you'll have to wait. And I don't do things like that today. When she calls me, I'm there for her. You know, I get to be the friend I always should have been. And I get to watch my friend, you know, have amazing and beautiful people in her life who give me strength and hope. And I actually hear what they say to me because I'm not so obsessed about, God, I just gotta go get another drink. Like, I don't wanna be present. I don't wanna talk to you. Like, when I say I love you, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Like, I truly mean it. And that is such a gift from God. I get to have a relationship with myself today, learning my own boundaries, what I'm okay with and what I'm not with, and realizing that if none of you like me, oh well, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's okay because I have God today. And like, You know, when I first like realized I believed in God, I was like, oh God, I hope nobody heard me say that. You know, like I was like real embarrassed. And then I was like, okay, if I'm gonna do this thing, I've gotta do it all the way, you know? And now I am one of those crazy people on my knees in a parking lot somewhere, you know, praying. And it's so weird because it's just so different from where or how I was. But it's, God is so good. This program is awesome. Give it a chance. You know, that's what somebody told me. They were like, you suck. Just give this thing a chance. You know, what will it hurt? You know, you'll either come to believe or, you know, you'll die. So whatever, it's up to you. Make your choice. And I was like, death could be cool. And then I realized, but then something happened. And I truly believe that God changes me every day. Like every day I learn something new. And sometimes it takes a lot of pain. You know, when I first came up here, I was really scared. I was seeking God. God was my focus in Savannah. And when I came up here, I started to take that will back, you know, my will back, which is always a dangerous thing. And I was worried about what everybody else was doing and what everybody else was saying. And, you know, like, well, I definitely see why people don't think AA works, you know, and you know, stuff like that. And that's the wrong way to be. By the way, it's the wrong way for me to be. There's a message in everything. You just gotta open your eyes and, you know, open your ears to hear and see it. But I was able to put my focus back on God, and since then, you know, like, I've gotten a sponsee, and I've met some really amazing, awesome people, and who don't even know me, but were, you know, have been there for me since I've been up here, and I look forward to growing and sharing this experience with you guys, and I love you all, and that's all I've got. So, thanks.